Ethan Abraham.
All right, this cheer should be a show much happened to Leah, and this should be, and all the learning today should be in school. Okay. So we're continuing where we left off yesterday on Erevin of Gimel Maralev. We were discussing how to fix an Erev for the Mavoi. So basically, the problem is that if you want to carry in an area, it has to be properly enclosed. We're talking about a case of a Mavoi. A Mavoi is an alleyway. It is also considered to be a Karmelit, which means that it's a in between being Rishut HaRabim and Rishut Yachid. And Midrabanan, you're not allowed to carry there until you fix it to make it more closed off, so that way people will not accidentally carry. By carrying the Mavoi, they'll be confused, thinking just like I can carry in the Mavoi in the alleyway, I can carry in the Rishut HaRabim that it leads into as well. So we want people to not do that. So right now, we're discussing how can we fix it. So yesterday we were discussing what is the height at which you would be putting the Korah, which would be the beam put across the top of the entryway to the alleyway. That way people would see it and recognize that here's where the alleyway ends and there's a drop on the other side. So you can only carry until here, only in this region. Are you allowed to carry? You can't carry past it. So that's where we were up to yesterday. And now we're going to be going to more details about what if something. We're going to be talking a little bit more about how the Mavoi works and some more technical details about, again, comparing between Eruv and between and Sukkah and how they have a lot of similar halachot, one and the other. Okay? So again, we're on Gimel Amud Aleph by the two dots, about it's four lines down in the wide lines. So Gemara says, "Mixat korah betoch esrim, mixat korah lamal meesrim, mixat schach betoch esrim, mixat schach lamal meesrim." So the question is, what happens if we placed our schach right in the middle? So the schach, it's not above 20, it's not below. It's actually it's going over and below, as you see here in the picture on the right. Picture number 12. So there you can see quite clearly you see where it says Esrim Ama, and then you see where that's right in the middle of the schach is. So the question is, what's the story? And then is it kasher? Is it pasul? Do you need to make it bigger? Make it smaller? What do we say? So Amar Rabba, Mavoi kasher. That if we're talking about a Mavoi an alleyway, that's fine if the beam goes below and above. But for sukkah, it's no good. Ma'ishnav mavoi takasher. So why is mavoi different? It's because it's darminan kalush. We say that it is kalush. So the question is, what is kalush? So Rashi, kalush is rowan ki'ilu nital oto ha'ovi hayotzei l'mala v'tehe koradaka. Basically, take out everything that's left on top and you see how it would be if it was razor thin. So for a, so that works very well for mavoi, because there's no requirement for it to be any degree of thickness. But for schach, it has to be sufficient to be more than just, you know, razor thin. So sukkanami lema kalush. So then why can we say the same thing by the schach? So e kalushat havia la chamata meruba mitzilata. Problem is, if you take a very thin slice of schach, it won't fully cover the shade, and then we'll have a puzzle sukkah. Because the requirement for a sukkah isn't that there's something there, it's that there's something there that also serves to create a majority of the area being covered in shade. Hakanami e kalashat havya la korad hanitel beruah. But then we could say similarly, it could be a similar problem here that if we have a korah that's very infinitely, that's really thin, we can say that this korah is too flimsy. And if it's too flimsy, then it's not a valid beam to remind us, because like it's going to blow away. Rather, what do we say? That even, right, even though it is very thin, we say that as if it's made out of metal. And metal is very strong. Even a very small amount of metal won't blow away in the wind, and it'll stay there. Hakanami. Couldn't you say the same thing here, that you simply had a very thin, let's say, If you have a very thin schach, it could be that, let's say, like nowadays they sell really thin bamboo mats, which are, you know, which are maybe not even, they're maybe a couple of millimeters thick, and that's still, and that's enough to give you enough of a coverage. So maybe you just say the same thing by being a very thin and strong thing, but you can say the same thing by sukkah. So Amaraba, Parziki, so what does Rabba say? He's from Parziki, and he says, sukkah de liyakid hi lo mitkar, mavzul Rabba mitkar adade. Difference is that a that by a sukkah, people there's only one person typically using the sukkah. So since there's only one person using it, it's very easy for them to you know, to forget about it. But if you're talking about the case with a mavoi, everybody's, you know, using the same mavoi, and they'll remind each other, and then it's everybody reminding each other that, remember, you know, you can't carry past this point. So then therefore that'll work. And so how do we know that this is really true? People actually remind each other. Damri Inchi, Kidra de Beishu Tafa, La Khamima, Vla Krira. As they had an idiom back then that pop along into partners is neither hot nor cold. Meaning that once you are right? So actually, it's a little bit more of the reverse, because basically, when you have, as sometimes happens, when you have a group project or many people involved in something, and nobody's told that they're in charge, then oftentimes things slip in between, and therefore nobody will end up fixing it by the case of a mavoi. Whereas by sukkah, you'll remember, and therefore you'll come to end up fixing it. So that would be the, you know, modern day terms, that'd be basically the bystander effect that can cause it to be considered to be no good. Okay. Ravina Amar, Sukkah Daraita, Achmir Barabanan, Mavud Rabanan, Loch Mir Barabanan. So on the other hand, Ravina has a different answer, not based on people's ability to remember and know to correct it and move to the right height. Rather, it's based on, as we mentioned last off, there was a difference between why one is kasher, one pasul. It's because Sukkah is Daraita, so therefore the Rabban didn't think that it needed any chizuk. It didn't need people to be take it more seriously. On the other hand, by Mavud is Rabbanan, Chazal had to be taken more seriously, because people often tend to ignore Durabanan. Oh, it's only Durabanan. So because of that, Chacham on were more mocked by a Durabanan than they would be by a Daraita. So my Havala, how is this possible? Basically, because we seem to have Rabba say on two sides of the argument, right? So we had, so, all right, so how's that possible? So, Rabba Bar, Rav Ula Amar, Zev Azev Pasul. Actually, both of them, if they're on the border, half above and half below, that's like if it's a wide beam or wide sach, it's possible. On the other hand, we got Rabba Amar, Zev Zev Kasher. Rabba would say, no, they're both Kasher as long as, you know, part of it's in the allowed range. Okay, now turning on to the next page. Chalal sukkah tanan, chalal mavoi tanan. Because when the Mishnah is talking about the empty space in between, it says 20 amot, referring to the empty space. So therefore, it's kasher as long as the empty space is less than 20 amot. We're not talking about the total size of the sukkah, the total size of the mavoi. We're talking about the empty area. That's what we're talking about. To work well, if you were going also with what we mentioned yesterday about the mavoi being learned out from the ulam or from the from the heichal, because for them they had an amotra on top, which added even more height to it. So if we were talking about the whole height, they would have had different measurements as opposed to the numbers that we currently have. Okay, so Amar Leira Papa Laraba, Tanya Masailcha. Right, I have a bright that'll actually support you when you're saying that it's only referring to the gap, not to the whole thing. If you have a bovoi that is 20 amot taller than the heichal, you should make it less. The heichal gufo v'chalolo as mesri. And the heichal itself, including its the empty space, is is 20. So that's how we know. So therefore, we see that they're referring to the gap and not referring to the gap in the entry and not referring to the whole structure itself. So itve Rav Shimi Barav Ashi Rav Papa. So then Barabashi is adding Rav Papa. Ketzad Hayosa. So the question is, so then what should you do? Maniach Korah Misvat Asriim Ulamata. Then shouldn't we say that the whole beam should be placed, the top of it should then be placed below 20 if we're not he's gonna accept the halal approach. So Ema Ulamala Halamata Ktani. Then it should have said 20 and up. Why does it say, but the Mishnah says Lamata, we should place it below. So what does this have to mean? Hakmashmalan, so what do we mean to say? Dilamata kudalamala. Below, like below, so above. Malamala kalala asrim. Aflamata kalas asara. So just like above, we say that the empty space is 20 amot. Similarly below that, it's the gap can be 10. Right? But here, that 10 is not referring to amot, referring to tefachin. If you put a korah too low to the ground, it also is possible. Amar Abaye Mishmei Rav Nachman, and Abaye says the name of Rav Nachman, Amat Sukkav, Amat Mavoi, Amat Chamisha. So now we're getting to more technical things. Right, so that's important to keep in mind. A lot of things in Erevin, let's say nowadays, if we're to explain somebody what the daily upkeep is of the local era, but you get down to a lot of nitty-gritty details. So here we're going to be explaining, now that we are talking about, we have to establish the height of the mavoi, we are trying to figure out, wait, when we say 20 amot, what exactly is an amot? So amar by mishpeder of Rahman, amot sukkah, amot mavoi, but amot bat chamisha. So when we're measuring amot for sukkah and for a mavoi, that's the amot that's made up of five tfachim. Right, so that's a smaller ama, but amat kilayim, but ama bashisha. But on the other hand, when we're measuring out the distances for kilayim of plants that are planted that are crossbred and planted in the same area, which is an iser daraita of kilayim. So for that, we measure it based on the larger ama, the ama that's made up of six tefachim. So Amat Mavoi, Amat Bachamisha, Mai Hilchata. So when we say that Amat Mavoi is measured by five Tvachim, per Amma, what halacha does that apply? So that's relevant. We're talking about the maximum height of the core of the Mavoi, and also Lepirtzat Mavoi. And for when there's a breach in the alleyway being more than ten amot wide, as we mentioned in the Mishnah. Baha ika meshak mavoi ba'arba amot lekula. But didn't we? But what about the fact? But isn't there another issue to worry? So right now we've been looking at the slides of just the entryway of it being, about how wide it is and how tall it is. But isn't there something else we have to take into your mind, which is the depth of the mavoi? Baha ika meshak mavoi ba'arba amot lekula. But isn't there a minimum length that it has to be in order for it to be considered to be a reshut at all? Because if it's too small, then it's not even a mavoi. Come on, Amar Barbar Tzachim, right? So shouldn't they have, mentioned that? So it's like, so for the minimum size, so the Gemara is asking, based on the fact that the minimum size, they think that the minimum size for reshut is 4x4, but 4x4 amot. So now we're saying, what is this? So what is, rather, whose bin is it? Command amar bar tzachim. Rather, what is the minimum depth that you can have for something to consider your shows? It's not 4 amot, rather it's 4 tzachim, and therefore the way you measure your ama doesn't make a difference in the end of the day for that. So, v'baydeyma ba'arba amot, v'rob amot kamar. Or maybe you could say that really the depth still is 4 amot, but when they said Arba amot, they weren't being super precise. They meant that it's more of an approximate. But most amot, because most amot are 5, and we'll be makel and say 5 is opposed to 6. Okay, so now we're good. Now we're continuing on with the parallel in Sukkah. So Amat Sukkah, Amat Chamisha L'mai Echadah. So when we say that the Amma for Sukkah is the five Tachem Amma, as opposed to the six Tachem Amma, so for which ones does this apply? L'Govha, L'Dofen, Akuma. Right. So where do we use this for measurements? We use this for measuring out. It's the maximum height of the Sukkah as well as or Dofen Akuma. So. Okay, so Gova is what we were talking about until now. And Dofakuma is basically that if you have, let's say, if you have either a literal crooked wall, and then let's say the wall is, you know, is slanting over one side, or the more common case would be, let's say, if you're trying to put your sukkah up next to your house, a lot of the times there's often an overhang of the roof. So we consider that to be a Dofakuma. We view it as if the whole wall is bent. And for the wall being bent, there's a limit on the length that you're allowed to have it be bent, which is 4 amma. For more on that, we'll hopefully get there when we get to Masechet Sukkah. But that's what that's referring to. Ba'ika Meshech Sukkah Barba Amot Lekula. But didn't we say that there's some parts where we have Arba Amot in Sukkah that's Lekula? Netanya Rabbi Omer. Omer Ani Kol Sukkah She'en Ba Arba Amot Arba Amot Zula. So when Rebbe gives what's the minimum size of a sukkah, he says it's 4 amot by 4 amot. And we said that we only listed two measurements. We mentioned the height. We also mentioned the crooked walls. We made no mention of the whole of the floor space. Of the sukkah, which is what Rabbi mentioned. So rather, what do we say? Karabanan de Amri, afilu ena machzeket ela rosho merubo v'shulchona. Rather, it's according to the Rabbanan who say that, no, it's not 4x4, rather it's the amount that'll fit your head and majority of your body and your table, which ends up working out to be much smaller, roughly 7 tvachim. Alternatively, la'olam rabbi hi v'rov amo kamar, or similar to what we answered before, that really rather could still work within Rabbi's opinion, but when he was referring to amot, so the amot for the floor space is majority of the amot, which would mean that so that would mean that you could do it with either 5 or 6, and therefore we're talking about the sukkah is 5. When we're saying 5, so most of the time it's 5. We use 5 for the height and for the defakuma, but for the width we'd use 6. So amat kilayim ba'ama bat shishal ma'achata. So we said that kilayim for the forbidden mixtures of planting of seeds, you've got it's an amo that's made up of 6 tvachim. So what is that for? Which halacha is that relevant? For the bald vineyard and for the emptiness of the karam, but the idiom actually means when it says karachat, it means a place that is clear in the vineyard as opposed to the place that's planted, so it looks bald, but really just means it's a clearing. And limchol karam is referring to the perimeter. Like to go around something how we have before we're saying a halal was the empty space enclosed. Here it's the whole area that is enclosed, the limchol. Okay. Now I learned in the Mishnah. Karachat Akerem. Right, so now this is a Mishnah Kilayim. So Karachat Akerem, but Shami Omrim, Esrim Arba Amot. So what is the area of the clearing that you'd have in your vineyard? So Bishama says it's 24 amot. Behel omrim shesar amot. It's 16 amot. Mukol akerem Bishama omrim shesar amot. Behel omrim shemesar amot. And as far as the perimeter of the vineyard, like the gap you'd have to have there, so Bishama says that it would have to be 16. Behel says it should be 12. So. Now we're gonna go back and do a little bit more in terms of the explanation of terms, because we seem to have done a little bit of uh, of uh, of skipping for what exactly that means. Okay, so Ezohi Karachat HaKerem. What do we mean by the clearing of the Kerem? How does that work? So Kerem Shacharav Emtzaito. So you had a vineyard, and then the center of it was destroyed. Ein Sham Sheshesre Amot. If the area within is not 16 amo, but 16 amo, you can't plant in that area. But hayasham sheshesrei ama no ten lo kedei avodato v'rei otamotar. But if it is 16 by 16, then you can leave off the resident gap on the edges, 4 amo on the sides, in order to demarcate between the area that's for the vineyard versus the area that's for the seeds, and then you could plant inside. One moment, let me just share with everybody a diagram. Just hopefully this will we get all of the diagrams I'm showing are from Parish Chai, conveniently found in on Hebrew books. And also if people are using Koran or Artscroll, there should be diagrams accompanying there as well. So the photo number 15 is what we refer to as the karacha, where you have the bet being the subsequent area that's 8x8 where you can plant your seeds, and the area that you see this little olive and this little animal cart over there. So that area there that's meant to be left empty to differentiate between the vineyard and where you're planting seeds. So now continuing back on the Gemara. So now we know what a karacha, a karam is. So, but the Ezu Machol Kerem. So, what do we mean by when we say the perimeter of the vineyard? What does that mean? It's Ben Kerem Agadar. It's the distance that should be kept between your vineyard and the fence and your property line. Ein Sham Shtemis Rama Lo Yavi Zer L'Sham. If there aren't 12 amot on the edge of your field, then you can't plant there. Hayu Sham Shtemis Rama No Chen Lo Kadei Vodato V'Zerei Et Hashar. But if you're up against the fence, right? So again, we're looking at, in the diagram. Now we're do we have it? Is there? Here we go. It's photo number 17, Machol Kerem. So there, you need to have a sufficient gap between the vineyard and where you may be planting the seeds. And then there you're going to need to have another gap between the seeds and the wall. Okay, so we'd have 4 and 4 and 4 for the total of 12 that we need. As was before, we needed to have it be 4, 8, and 4. Okay, back into the Gemara. V'ha'ika retzufim ba'arba amot. What about doesn't there halacha when we talk? This talks about if you had planted the vines one next to the other one, within 4 amot, to lakula. We normally would say that if we're saying measuring the distance between different species, we'd say we go lakula. Non kerem anatu alpacha merba amot. Rabbi Shimon Omer eno kerem. Bchem amrim kerem veroen et emtsayim kilo enam. So we have a parallel case where we're talking about dimensions of 4 amot, where Rabbi Shimon says that if you have too small of a kerem, it's only 4 amot wide, that's not a kerem. That's simply, you know, you have an isolated fruit tree in your backyard. That's not a problem. That's enough to be considered to be a kerem, and you simply view the spaces as if they're empty. So therefore, if you had planted in between two rows of trees, that would be a problem, because even if it necessarily hasn't reached the level of kilai eha kerem in and of itself, but in terms of you wanted to plant in that region, you still can't, because we view the whole area as being 4, ignoring the width that was taken up by the trees themselves. Karabanan, so rather, what must you say? That this is all according to the Rabbanan, to Amri Habe Karim. That's according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, who says that if it's 4 amo would constitute its own region of a vineyard and be in order to be chayav yun kilayim a karim. Or you could say, even according to Lolam Rabbi Shimon, even Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and what do we say? Barov amo kamar. He was referring to the fact that you know, for most things, we use the amma of 6, even though for some things, we may use an amma of 5. So basically, it's the reverse version of Rav Amma that we've been using until now. There, it was more, most of the time you use 5, and in one case, you use 6. Now, it's most of the time you use 6, but in this one case, you use 5. Okay, so now we have a different opinion. That Rav Mishmei de Rav Nachman Amar Kolama Ba'amma Bat Shisha. So Rav says, in the name of Rav Nachman, that every amma that is mentioned is really 6. Ela halalu shachakot, halalu atzevot. So when we're mentioning measurements, we're always going to be using the amma made up of 6 tefachim. Rather, what's the difference? El halalu shachakot, halalu atzevot. Right, so the question is, are they, there's two ways that you can make a fist. You can make a fist either through, let's see, here we go. So you see your number in figure number 18. So there's a question of when you make a fist, there's a tightly clenched fist and then there's a loosened fist. So if you're measuring based on a tightly clenched fist, so you'll have a smaller tefach. And if you're talking simply about, you know, you put your hand down loosely, then it'll be a little bit bigger. And that's how you'll end up with a difference in size. So that's how we could say the difference. So yes, they're all using the same. All amot are really made up of 6 tefach. And the question is, how big are the tefachim you're using? So this whole thing, again, so as far as the reason why I haven't really been given any modern day approximations for how large an amma or a tefach is, because it's actually subject to a much larger debate between Rav Chaim Na and the Chazon Ish, as well as a lot of other achronim as well. There's the question of how do you measure a tefach? Is it based on which fingers of your hand, is based on the whole fist? So for now, we're going to operate off of what Gemara says as far as what it ends up being left for the Masa. If we have time at the end of the year today, hopefully I'll address it shortly. But if not, we'll simply know that there is a machloket about that, and we'll hopefully get to it another time.
But would the nafkamina would be the same? Because we're talking about different sizes. One is smaller, one is bigger. So whether it's clenched, if it's clenched, it's smaller. If it's not as clenched, it's bigger. So in the end, it's the same thing that we were saying before.
Correct. So what Rava is saying, and then Rav Nachman, is that actually is the same. We're calling it the same amma, even though it's not really the same. Based on the way you measure it, a clenched hand versus a loosened hand, we'll get you the different size that we're going for. So you're right, they are different measurements. Just as far as the way we still call it, all of them will be called an amma made up of 6 tefachim. Just a different type of tefachim. So, Okay, so now continuing on. So, Meitvei, kol amot she'amru chachamim ba'ama bat shisha, v'vash lo yehi mechuvanot. So when we say that every amma is made up of 6 tefachim, that means to say that it's not mechuvan, means precisely, right? So they're not exactly a cubit. Rishlamal rava heidil havyan halalof shachakot halal atzevot. So this makes sense according to Rava, because he said there's a difference between whether your fist tightly clenched versus loosely held, and now give us a difference. El alabai gosh, or otherwise a bayeh say, it says 1 5 and 1 6. What do you mean by mechuvanot? Ema amat kilayim ba'ama bat shisha. Rather, so bayeh would say that when we say ama for kilayim, we're always referring to an ama of 6, but for the other ones, it's an ama of 5. And that, when they said that we always use an amma of 6, that was only meant for kilayim, not for anything else. Ha'amitani seifa, but what about we have in the seifa of that braita? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, kol amot shemu chachamim b'kilayim, ba'amma bat shisha, v'vash lo yehu b'tzimtzamot, miklal latana kama, kol amot kama. So the problem is that we have the end part of the braita we had quoted earlier, which says that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel used to say that whenever Chachamim said an amma, they meant for kilayim, an amma of 6 tefachim. As long as it's not, as long as you're not measuring out exactly 6. So so that, which sounds to me like more like Robin's opinion. I mean, clause tana kama, kolamo kama. But that would mean that our opinion that we were talking about earlier, the one we're trying to say, you know, shofakot versus, so the tightly clenched fist versus the loose fist. So that means that tana kama is referring to not simply the case of kilayim, but if or Gabchugam Leel saying only for kilayim, then you can't say that the amas of six is only for kilayim can't work, because if the tana kama meant that, then he would have said that. So clearly the tana kama thinks that when the chum said kol amot that are six, that he meant really all of them are six, unlike Gabchugam Leel. So Amar Lecha Abaye, so what does Abaye say? V'la mikar m'shima gamliel d'kai kvate ana damri k'shima gamliel. So Abaye would test a very easy answer of, whoever told you that I held a chachamim, rather I hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and since Rabbi Shimon Gamliel exists, that's my opinion, and now my opinion works very well. So, labai valetanai. According to Abaye, that means that the machloket of whether an amma is measured by five or six is machloket tanai. L'rava milema tanai. But then, do we have to say that machloket whether an amma is five tfachim or six tfachim is machloket tanai? Do we have to say that also for Rava as well? So, amalach Rava, Rashi ben Gamliel, ha'atel ashvinan, amat kilayim lo yitzamtzem. So, Rava says, Shimon Gamliel meant to say that Amat Kalayim shouldn't be measured with a clenched fist. That's what he meant to say. Vilema Amat Kalayim lo yitzamtzem. If that's really what Shimon Gamliel's opinion meant according to the way Rav is interpreting it, then shouldn't the language of the Brayta have been an Amma for Kalayim you shouldn't make smaller? But then why would we be talking about it? What does it mean to say, when Rabbi Shmuel says, an amat shisha, what does he mean then? Lav lam ute amat sukha amat mave. So wouldn't that mean that we only use the amat of six for kalayim, but not for sukha and mavoi, as we'd mentioned earlier in the daf today? Lav lam ute amat yasod va amat saved. Rather, no, which ones aren't included? And the amma at the base of the mizbeach, and the amma we use for measuring the ledge that's halfway up on the mizbeach. Okay, let's see. So everybody sees the diagram number 20. So seeing diagram number 20, right? So there is the mizbeach. This is a side view of the mizbeach on a chozet. Which we also mentioned in terms of determining the height yesterday. So there is the yisod, which is aleph, which is the bottommost layer, which is five tzachim. Then we have the width of that's different from the yisod, and the next stage is six tzachim wide. And then we have the next segment of it, six tzachim. Then we have the sofei, which is the place that the way that the kohanim would, when they were walking around the be'ach hanachoshet on that small perimeter. So that was five tachim wide. And then we have three amot to the top. And then we have the five tachim tall kronot, the corners of the crowns of the mizbeach. So in terms of the total amot, so we've got aleph is one amma, gimel is five amma, hey is three amma, and vav is one amma. But aleph and vav are amot of five tfachim, whereas gimel and hey, each of those amot are made up of six tfachim. Okay. So how do we know this? So, within this out based on tichiv ve'ela midot hamizbeach ba'amot ama ama v'tovach v'chek ama ba'ama v'rochav gula al shvatav saviv zeret achad v'zer gav hamizbeach. So this is a pasuk from Yechezkel where it says These are the measurements of the Mizbeach, done in Amot. It's an Amma, and then an Amma, and a base. This is Amot. This measurements done in Amot, and those done in hand breaths. And the breadth of the, and it also talks about the breadth of the cubit, and the border by the edge should be around a span, i.e. a tefach as well, and this shall be higher part of the altar. So again, so this is, how exactly that translates to the picture we had before, a little complicated, but the Gemara is going to explain now. What is the, which phrase of, because when you read that phrase, you don't immediately think, it doesn't necessarily translate to the picture we have, the picture I'll share the picture again. Just so everybody can be reminded what the Mizbeach looked like, right? So then, from the words that we have in Yechezkel, it's not readily apparent whatsoever that it's referring to a structure that looks like that. So now the Gemara goes on and explains what each part means. Chekama zayisod. When it says chekama is measurement, that's referring to the yisod, the bottommost level. Pamorochav zesovev. And when it says an amma wide, that's referring to the sovev, the area that, or the middle section where the kohanim would be able to walk around. Uvula al svata saviv. And when it says by the border, by the lip, which goes around it, that's referring to the crowns on top, to the that would jut out on the four corners. Vizer gav mizbeach. And when it says this is the highest part of the mizbeach, so that's for zemizbeach hazahav. So even though until now we've been describing the other mizbeach, now we're referring to the mizbeach, or referring to the mizbeach that's the mizbeach hazahav. Okay, back. Okay, so now I'm stopping the share and back in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav Shirin Chatzitzin Mechitzin. That all of the measurements that are, we use for chatzitzas, for gaps, and for mechitzas, for making walls, chatzitza is something that blocks between one place. That's a chatzitza is something that's on your body that makes it no good for going to tefillah, and mechitza, which is things that are differentiate between different areas. Everything there is a halachal moshe mishinah. Right, so why do they all work? The answer is really it's because because Moshe heard it at Har Sinai, and that's why it is what it is. Not necessarily for any limb in particular, just because that's what God said and Moshe conveyed to us. Shiurin, Doraitahu. What do you mean Shiurin? What do you mean that it's all Halacha Moshe Mi Sinai? Doraitahu, we learned it out from Pasuk. As we learned in this passage, Parsha, Eretz Yitav Seora, Yemtina Verimon, which is a mnemonic that translates each and every one of the halachot of measurements. V'amar of Nachman, Kol Pasuk Hazel Shiurin Nemar, and Rav Chanan says every single word of this pasuk is teaches about the various different shiurim, the very different measurements. So now we're going to break down how exactly does that pasuk, which is turned into the song of Eretz Yitav Seora, right? So that song everybody knows. Or Eretz about Chalav Chalav Dvash. Right, so depending on which version of the song it is, but either way, that pasuk questions what? How does that help us with shiurim? Like it doesn't sound immediately that way. It just sounds like it's listing the shiva to meaning. How does that do the measurements? So we're getting there. So now the Gemara explains chita lichiritnan. The chita is relevant as it pertains to the following mishnah. Haniklas labayit hamnuga. If somebody were to have walked into a house that has sarat, that is covered in sarat, and he's carrying his kalim, wearing his sandals and rings on his feet, and his rings on his hands, on his fingers, then he and everything that he's wearing is considered to be tameh immediately. Hayalavush kelav. If he was wearing his things, you're not carrying them, but actually properly wearing them, he's supposed to, that Lavush kelav, he's wearing his clothing. Sandalabra kelav, his shoes were on his feet. Tavotav be'etzvotav, hayatzmei miyad. But if the items had been even wearing the way they're supposed to be worn, it's supposed to be carrying them over his shoulder. Hein tarin ad, right, he's immediately And there, only tame once, you've been there for how long? A lot of time it takes you to eat half of a bread. So how much of that time? It's referring to the amount of time it takes you to eat wheat bread, because wheat bread is easier to eat than barley bread, which is normally rougher. And also, whether you're eating, we're not simply saying, you know, the fat world fastest, you know, person in terms of, you know, in terms of food eating contest. That's referring to the average person who sits down, relaxes, and eats it while dipping it in relish. So not super fast, not super slow, but the only person who's, you know, eating it at a moderate pace. Then why does the pasuk say Sora? We learn from Sora. Sora could it none. So that's for another mission. Another answer because Sora, Matami Magwa Masa, the animal time oil. That if a portion of a bone was found and it's the size of a barley, it is Matame by touching it or by carrying it. But it is not yet large enough to be matame via tumat oil, meaning that anything that's underneath the same roof would then be tame as well. So, and then what do we learn from Geffen? Geffen kedei revi'i yayin lenasir. So from Geffen we learn out that there's a quantity of a revi'i talog, a quarter of a log, which is around 30 milliliters. Again, for exact measurements, it's how much that is. And that's for the yayin, the wine for a nazir. Tena gogar lo tzav shaba. Tena is relevant because if you have the measurement is a gogar, which is basically a dried fig cake. That's if you carry that size out on Shabbos, you're over on Isser and Rimon. Tena kol klei balei abatim shiran kirimonim. As we mentioned, that how big are the in another mishnah? What size? Does the utensil need to be an order for it to be able to become tame? It has to be the size of a pomegranate. Sorry, if the holes are the size of a pomegranate, the holes are inside the pomegranate, the person that's able to use it, once they're bigger than a pomegranate, there's you can't store anything in it if the holes are that big, and therefore the kli is now a puzzle kli. And finishing out the puzzle, so we've got two more phrases. Yes, left, so Eretz, Shem, Vash. So what's Eretz Shekol Shira Kedetim? I mean, the land of all of what you measure everything that grows in terms of the size of an olive. Kol Shira, Sagadatat, do you really mean all of them? Didn't we just have a whole bunch of other measurements? Pa'ikahani Damran, we just mentioned it a whole bunch. El Ema, Eretz Shiro Shira Kedetim. Rather, it's the land where most things are measured in the terms of Kazayat, which is in about an olive's worth, which is why normally when you're talking about how much you have to eat for bracha, we always say kizai and other olive as well. And dvash kedofet agat selling kiporim. So saying that when we're measuring out the volume of something for violating the Easter rites of Yom Kippur, it's a large date. It's the size of a large date, which is bigger than a kizai. Batuspara Shirin Mitzvah Dive. So wait, so if you really hold that pasuk really teaches us all the dina that we just mentioned. Ella Hekata Ninu Vasmukinu Urbanon Akrai. No, you're right. Really, they're all Halacha Moshe Sinai that we've mentioned prior. Rather Midi Rabbanon, we gave an asmach. We gave it a support to help you remember all of the Rabbani give us support to help you remember basically a mnemonic device to remind you about all of the measurements. Okay, anybody have any questions? Because I think we'll probably end up stopping here and continue here tomorrow. Before we get to the next Balthazar of Chatzitza, because that's a little more complex. Anybody have any questions?
Sure. So the whole idea of the measurements with the smaller arm and the bigger arm and then the clenched fist and the wider fist, is there any nafkamina? Is there a difference in size, or is it just semantics of how you want to phrase it? Because there is a difference.
Right. So there is a difference in size. Basically, the way we pass in, we end up picking one or the other. So. In the Gemara, there's a difference, but also Masa, we don't differentiate.
Okay.
I mean, there's even a difference between people's hands, right? I mean, there's no standard size. A huge hand could be very different, whether it's spread apart compared to a small person's hand.
So we're going to get there soon, that there's a difference between Derrida versus Derabanan. For Derrida, that's done in the measurements of the individual person. Say for Yom Kippur, you'd have to measure, if you're doing Shiurim, you have to measure out based on your own volume of the amount of, let's say for fluids, how much your own mouth can hold if you're doing Shiurim. Whereas for Din Derabanan, we tend to use a unified measurement of the what's luckily determined to be the average.
Very nice, thank you.
Good. And one question as far as the sukkah is concerned. When we were measuring, what did it mean when we were with the Maboy, the sukkah, and then with Kalayim, it said Lakula. What was it referring to with the, that then we would have to change the measurement?
So, I'm not sure I'm understanding. Meaning, it meant that when we're going Lakula, it would mean that we would use the smaller measurement when it would help us. That's what
we would use. But was that a problem to do?
I mean, depending on the dimension, I mean, the Lakula, I was saying that for the, we're talking about the depth of the sukkah. So as opposed to for the height where we want it to be taller, for it to hit the minimum size of the sukkah, we want to use the smaller measurement, not the larger measurement. Because we want to be able to make sure that our sukkah is kosher, because we want to have the smallest sukkah possible, as opposed to when we're trying to put the mabul as high as possible, or the top of the sukkah as high as possible, where the more makel there would actually fall, we'd be using the larger shear, not the smaller shear.
So that's when the whole interchange of the larger and the smaller came into. Okay, perfect. Yes. Thank you. Okay, I'm good.
Okay, so we will pick
have
up tomorrow with Echol Katsitsa.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, take care, everybody.
Have a good day.